Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And we're talking about the goodness of God. God is absolute goodness. The devil is absolute darkness. Amen. So, and a good God, the good God, created. Now, I want to show you something here from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the fossil record does not lie. It doesn't. There's an eon of time between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. The earth was not created without form and void. It had been flooded. Noah's flood was the second one, not the first one. That is extremely important in understanding the Bible. Now, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And let's go down to the 10th verse. God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and so forth, and God saw that it was good. Isn't this good? Mm-hmm. Amen. And so you come on down, and verse 18, and to rule the day over the night and divine and so forth, and God saw that it was good. In verse 21, God saw that it was good. And God blessed, saying, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and sea, and so on and so on. And verse 25, and God saw that it was good. Now, look at the 31st verse. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. He's a good God, and he could not have created anything in that condition and shape. It had to be redone. It's extremely vital information. There is no question about all that there is in this earth that is not answered in the covenants. It is all there. Amen. So, and he saw that it was very good. Mm-hmm. But now, wait a minute. Something's not good.
Yeah.
Let's go to 2:18.
Can I make mention of when he said it wasn't good? That's true.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate. That's not good. We need to fix this. Amen. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. He named everything. Every living creature and so forth. And you know what happened. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is good. Oh, he said, this is so good. Look at this. Look at her. I'm convinced that his thrill of her, she's so gorgeous, so absolute, handmade by God, that was one of the things that he just couldn't turn loose. And it cost him dearly, but how he must have loved her. Mm-hmm. And what he saw, and the goodness of God was expressed in the goodness of her looks. Wow.
He loved her so much that he followed her rather than God.
He followed her rather than God.
Okay, so I this whole chapter, I went through it with some rabbis, and they were getting frustrated at me. Because hard to believe, but it's not. I ask a lot of questions. And I've got to looking at here, at the end of day six is when the second day is starting. At the end of day one, we have the light. This goes to that fossil record you're talking about.
Yes.
Because at the end of day two, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament, the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven.
Yes.
And the evening and the morning were the second day. He did not say good.
I hadn't noticed that.
He didn't say good. He said good on every single day but that day. He does not say good. Why do you not say good at the end of the second day of creation? Because heaven and earth are separated. They're not supposed to be separated from one another in God. Jesus will pray on earth
as it is in heaven. He brought it back together.
He's bringing it back together.
Well.
A new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
And so he doesn't say it's good because it's not finished. So now as you go down through this, he called the dry land earth, gathered together the waters, and God said, now look what he says in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, because it was commanded to.
Yes.
The earth is reproducing after itself. He didn't do that with man. He didn't say, let the earth bring forth man. No, he got involved with this thing. Now, so I'm wondering, how can everything be good when he said that man wasn't good, being alone, and he didn't say day two was good, but yet everything was good? Here's what I saw in this. Look what he does. Where was that? Chapter 2. Let's see. And the Lord caused deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, what's Adam been doing right before that? Naming all the other things on the earth. And Adam said, this is good. This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. God didn't, well, let me rephrase that. God didn't call her good. Adam called her good. God allowed man to now.
Yes, he did.
Declare goodness in the earth.
He allowed him to name her.
He allowed him to name her. He allowed him. This is why when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Because he allowed her, and I wrote right there, he named her. He allowed man to pronounce goodness. And so when man, walking in his authority on the planet, started talking like God, this is why he said, all of it's good now. Because man will fix the heaven and earth thing.
Praise God.
Man will be a steward of the planet.
Hallelujah.
We have given up, Brother Copeland, political thing here. We've allowed the world to try to define stewardship of the planet. Wow. Mm-hmm. And that was our assignment.
Wow.
We're supposed to be the ones that look over the planet.
Yeah, and moaning and groaning, looking for a manifestation.
Mm-hmm. The earth cries for the manifestations of the sons of God.
Yeah.
Because we're the ones that can bless the earth. Worst thing you can do as a farmer and get out there and curse your ground all the time.
Oh, yes.
I tell you, we can't grow anything here. I don't know what the problem is.
My grandfather would go out in that. Now, he was essentially illiterate. He could sign his name, and he could read a little bit, but he'd never been to school. But he'd go out there in the middle of that field every year. And he would go to the different parts of it. And he would dig down in that soil until he... Now, other people used instruments. Well, he didn't fool with that. And he would, until he feel some moisture. And he'd gather up a handful of it. And he would smell of it. And he would taste it. And he would set his planter like that. He always had the best crop in the county. He would stand out there and take his hat off and honor God in that field. Every time he didn't use last year's settings because the weather is going to be a little bit different. He's a farmer.
Mm-hmm. He's listening to the ground. Tell him.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
And he, to him, the bloom on a cotton plant was the most beautiful flower in existence. And because that's what he was called to do. And the county agent would come by and talk to Mr. Owens before he'd go talk to anybody else. And then he'd go tell them what Mr. Owens said. And they would go then on what he said more than they did anything else. But being a farmer, he loved the land. There's no way he's going to stand out there and talk bad and curse that land. Because everything he had, all the money he had, is going into the seed. Everything he had was going into the seed. Mm-hmm. And his credit was so good. He walked into the bank one day and there was a guy there that they had just turned down for a loan. And my grandfather walked in there, you know, he's all greasy, all dirty and nasty, come through the door. Well, how much you gonna give that old man? He said, all that he'll sign for. Amen. For two reasons. One, you're gonna get it back. Right. And he is gonna make a crop. If anybody in this county makes a crop, he's gonna make it. Why? He blessed the land.
Yeah. Right.
He blessed that land.
Yes, sir.
Every year.
Yes, sir. This is the first words of Adam, was calling things into existence. Wow. Like his father.
Yes.
This is good.
Yes, he did.
He called her and told her what she was, that she's good.
Now, legally, he was Ish, mm-hmm. and she was Isha.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's just actually the masculine and feminine
right.
Hebrew
name. That's exactly right.
But he called her woman.
Mm-hmm. He did. Now, take all of that into context. Let me show you a verse in Proverbs 18. You know this verse. Verse 20, 21 to 22. Yes. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whosoever findeth the... Right there with what you say. You got problems with your wife. You've probably been saying the wrong things. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Adam spoke, she's good.
Yes, he did.
He called her into existence. Finally, one like me. He'd been looking at all these other animals. Finally, here's one like me. And he loved it. He's used the feminine indicative pronoun.
And you have to understand, he had never seen himself.
No.
He didn't have any mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this.
So if you get the revelation, you're starting to renew your mind now to this, that God is good.
And you know, Greg, and I talk about glory a lot. And And her dad, his announcement to me was, my daughter is the best looking girl in the state of Arkansas. Okay. Then he came back a little while later and said, you don't believe me, do you? I said, I believe you, man. I'm telling you, my daughter's the best looking girl in the state of Arkansas. And then, you know, the rest of the story. So then he came there at the penthouse there in the company my dad worked for. And they opened the door, and I thought, man, he wasn't kidding. That's the most gorgeous thing I ever laid my eyes on. She was good looking. And she still is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Imagine the father's pleasure hearing his man, his creation, talking like him.
Yes.
Oh, this is good.
This is good.
Probably looked right at him. Whoa, this is good. You outdid yourself.
Yeah, look at this one.
I don't even mind this little scar here now. But this is good.
It didn't hurt anyways.
But now we have to retrain ourselves, because we say stuff like good grief.
There's no such thing.
No.
Mm-mm. Boy, I mean, the Lord really convicted me. And he said, now, of two things, that fear is not good. Mm. No way fear is good. It is, well, you need a little. No, you don't need any. You don't need fear to train you that a car will kill you if it runs over you. You just have to have good sense.
Right.
He said, don't you ever jump out at your children and frighten them and think it's funny. Don't you ever do that. Fear is not good. And the other thing he said was, don't use words of the kingdom of darkness to express yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't ever do that. Like the professor just said, good grief. Oh, man, my feet are just killing me. Mm-hmm. Thrill me to death.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, oh.
No.
No, 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 no,
no. Never.
Never do that.
Talking about his goodness, how many times in chapter 1 here do we see good? It was good. It was good. It was good. It all had to do with creation. Elohim Hutov, the God who creates, is good.
Two.
Now,
four.
Very good.
Six.
Right before chapter 2.
And that one was 7. Glory to God.
Well, that would make sense if it was 7. So all of this has to do with creation being good. How big is creation? God is good. He said this is good. Whatever he says is. The vastest, you want to measure his goodness? Well, he said it to Abraham, count the stars.
Yeah, count them. Just see how far you get with this.
He did it with Job.
Yes, he did.
Really, can you measure?
Can you do it?
Because I did this in chapter 1 here. Can you measure the oceans in the palm of your hand? Can you? You're so smart, you're griping about things, really? See, that's the thing. That's how good God is. Look at the universe.
He is, and think about this in our terminology, he is good at what he does. Mm-hmm. And you see it there in the book of Isaiah. He measured the oceans with a drop of water.
Oh, my.
Well, that's a problem. Because they change. And he weighed the weight of the earth with a piece of dust. And then he measured out the heavens with a 9-inch span. Mine, I couldn't stand it. I had to measure mine. It's 9. It's 8 3/4. And then he did it in a balance.
And that's the depth of his goodness. Because in all of those things that he did, he said, it's good.
Now, let me explain to you something here. It gives us insight into why man's overwhelming desire to go to the planets. Mm-hmm. That was original. The Lord showed me this a number of years ago. His original plan, had Adam done what he was supposed to do, Earth would have become the garden spot of the universe. Mm-hmm. Then all of those planets out there, then he would have said, all right, son, this planet is full. Let's take over these others.
Let's do this one.
Because that is in the heart of man to do it. Mm-hmm. It just drives him to get out there. But now, that original plan is coming to pass.
And the heaven and the earth are coming together. We're about to see a recreation of this place into that garden that it was supposed to be done.
Yes, and the catching away of the church. The millennial reign and a new heaven and a new earth. The first one, gone. And there will never be any more glorified ones. We're it.
And Jesus will rule and reign with us like he was trying to get that guy to do.
And then we're going to be involved in the creation of the new heaven and the new earth.
Yes,
we'll
absolutely.
Be there. Right there with him.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hey.
That's in our future.
That's
in our
future.
Very near future.
Yes, it is. Yes. Oh, I'm telling you, that it's become so that we haven't been talking about it enough. And we're out of time.
Yeah.
Come, Jesus, right now.
Amen.
No, come, Jeremy.
Thank you, Papa. God is absolute goodness, and He creates only good. And the goodness of God is beyond what your natural mind could ever comprehend. Your heart can grab it, and He's given us the authority to speak faith-filled words that call things into being. And when we come back, we'll learn how to receive that authority.
The laws of the Spirit govern the whole earth, but what are those laws? In Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Releasing God's Love in You, he explains what the laws of the Spirit are and how they affect your daily life. Understand the character of God as your Savior and Father. Learn how releasing the love of God that's in you activates His Word and power into your life so you can love and believe on purpose and see the blessing that God has for you. When you sow the love of God into what you're believing for, you'll see the harvest of His promises come back to you more than you could ask or think. Fill your spirit with the right words so you know what to do and say when challenges arise, and watch God's love turn your situation around. Stop strife and unforgiveness with the love of God and take back freedom and peace for you and those around you.
Request your free copy of Releasing God's Love in You, available on MP3 disc by Kenneth Copeland. Choose to live in God's love and see how everything lines up with His promises for your life and those around you. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Jesus defeated the whole curse and redeemed you from it. He gave you a choice to receive Him, to take His authority, appropriate what He has already done. And when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you have His name to stand against any kind of darkness. So pray with me right now. If you've never been born again, then today is the day of your salvation. Just pray this out loud after me. Just say, Father in heaven, I come to You in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart that You raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I repent and I receive Your cleansing and Your forgiveness. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Take my life, Lord Jesus. Do something with it and fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer, you are what the Bible calls born again. You are saved. This is the first day of the rest of your new life in God. And right now you can begin to expect God's goodness to start flowing in your life. You can expect His mercy to be there for you every morning. And to help you understand more about who you are right now in Christ Jesus, KCM has put together some free resources and we call it the Salvation Package. This package contains a book called He Did It All For You, written by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And along with this little book, we're going to send you just a couple of small brochures that are here just to help you learn how to read and how to study your Bible and how to find out more about who you are in Jesus. And we encourage you to use these to build a foundation of faith in your life. And every day, spend time with Jesus in His Word, in His presence. Feed your spirit with the Word of God and find a church, find a family of faith that preaches faith. So to get your free salvation package, just go to kcm.org. And then continue growing every day. Keep growing spiritually by feeding your spirit with the Word of God. And one of the best ways to do that is to get into these atmospheres where the Word is being preached. And that's exactly what the Southwest Believers Convention is. And it's happening all next week, August 2nd through the 7th in Fort Worth, Texas. And I invite you, come join Kenneth Copeland and powerful preachers and teachers of the Word of God for 6 days and nights. Your life will be changed forever. For all the information on services and speaker schedules, just go to kcm.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember this, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior today, KCM has a gift for you. To request your salvation package free, go to kcm.org/newlife. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.
Save the date. This August 2nd through the 7th, Kenneth Copeland Ministries will be at the Fort Worth Convention Center for our annual Southwest Believers Convention. Join us all week for some powerful and anointed teaching from the Word of God. August 2nd through the 7th, where the West begins and faith never stops. Register today at kcm.org/events.